bad. Well, good morning, and so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. I want to say a special welcome to all of our guests. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We would love to connect with you. And there's one of a couple ways we can do that. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that information out. And at the end of service, as we leave today, you can leave that in the offering plate, or you can leave it in your pew, whatever you prefer. Or if you're online, or even here in person, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. And again, it's a way for us to connect with you and know who's worshiping with us. And so grateful that you're here. Looking forward to worshiping together. I know we have several folks out due to Labor Day weekend, but we're glad you're here and worshiping with us today. And so want to make you aware of a few things that are happening and coming up. First of all, no evening activities tonight. And then our office is closed tomorrow as we observe Labor Day. And so the office is closed tomorrow. We'll reopen on Tuesday. And so just take note of that. This Wednesday is Bible study with the pastor, and so at 9:30 we'll meet here, and it's open to anyone that would like to come, 9:30 in the morning, and we'll have a time. We're walking through the book of Revelation, and so looking forward to being together for that. And then all of our Wednesday night activities are happening and going on, meal at 5:30, service at 6 for our students and children, and we'll resume adult prayer meeting this week. And so this Wednesday night, we'll have prayer meeting from 6 to 7. And then at 7:15, we have a meal for our college students. And then worship service from 7 to 8. So we'd love for you to come and be a part of that. Take note, there's an opportunity, a mission trip opportunity coming up. And that's Acts 1 day. And so that's a one-day mission trip. And so maybe you've never gone on a mission trip before. You've always wanted to or be a part of. Whatever the case may be, there's plenty of opportunities with that. And so you're welcome to sign up for that. We want to encourage you to be a part of that. You can visit with Pastor Jonathan, and he can get you more information about that. And then one other thing I want to mention that is not in your bulletin there is on September the 12th, we are hosting another pastor's fellowship. It's been several months since we've done our last one, and so we're hosting another pastor's fellowship, and just remind you that we invite pastors from all over the area. We've had some come from out of state and just offer a meal for them. And then also we want to try to be a blessing to them. And so if you want to give to that in any way, you're certainly welcome to do that. You can do gift cards, you can buy a gift, you can give cash, or however you want to do that is fine. They're just men. They just like man stuff. And so it's always fun to try to really be a blessing to them, a source of encouragement as we just try to come alongside them and encourage them in that way. And so that's a week from Wednesday, so we have a few days here, but if you want to give or contribute to that, love to talk with you about that. Well, in just a minute, we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to begin. Matt Melton is with us, one of our college students this morning. He's going to be leading us for the next several weeks, and so be praying for him and be praying for our church. Obviously, we're in a season of transition with Al Ray stepping down and retiring. Last Sunday was his last Sunday, so be praying for our church. Just wisdom as we seek the will and hand of God and who he has next for us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will begin. God, you are good and gracious and kind. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for how you love and care for us. Lord, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth today. I pray you would hide us behind your cross, fill us with your spirit, help us to, God, just be focused on you. Eliminate the distractions, meet the needs of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing Great Things?
Love overcomes. He
take long before we can see God's hand at work in each of our lives. Let's continue to praise His name as He truly is the way maker.
That is who you are. my God, that is who you are.
You are
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper,
light in the darkness,
my God, that is who you are.
He is our waymaker. He is our promise keeper, our light in the darkness. And one of the incredible things about God is He wants to walk with you no matter what is going on in your life. And if you look closely, you will see the goodness of God. Let's sing of the goodness of God in this moment.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in. That I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, we turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, we're going to begin in chapter 1. As we begin walking through this Gospel together, And so excited. I've been looking forward to beginning this and just sitting down in a book. I enjoy going through the Psalms, but I enjoy getting into a book and walking through as best we can, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So looking forward to that. I heard an interview the other day from Deion Sanders. Obviously, he made some headlines yesterday, the new coach of Colorado football team and played TCU. They were supposed to get blown out, and anyway, they won. But I heard him in an interview the other day a few years ago. Many of you may know this, but some of you may not. But for years and years, it was not allowed by the NCAA for college athletes to officially earn any money. And so they instituted name, image, likeness, and afforded athletes the opportunity to be able to make money off of their name, image, likeness, etc. And most of you are very familiar with that and all that sort of thing. But heard him in an interview the other day that he talked about one of the problems that he saw with it. He didn't see any issue with allowing athletes to make money off of the work or things that they were doing, but to just give them money. He was talking about that some institutions or some organizations out there were creating this pool of money where they were just giving all athletes money, et cetera, whatever the case is. And so he's talking about some about this, but the point of this is, and I heard him say in this interview, he said, he doesn't agree with just giving money, but he's talking about those that are earning their income because of that, by whatever it is they're able to do, whether commercials or different things, he was in support of that. But he went on to say this. He said, for instance, he said, my sons, they don't get money just for sake of getting money, but they get money because they're doing commercials and doing some of these other things. And anyways, I'm listening to this. I'm going, yeah, Coach Prime, that sounds really good, except for, why is it that those young men, obviously they're talented, put up some incredible numbers yesterday, but a large part of why they already had the deals that they had, in a large part, was because of who their father is, right? Sure, they're putting in work, and man, if they can earn the money, get after it. I'm in favor of that. That's fine. But in reality, I want to talk to Coach Prime and go, hey, there's some of this that there's a weight, certain level of their value because of who their dad is and well-known and all that sort of thing. And so I have no issue with that, but here's what we need to understand this morning, is that sometimes who we are, it changes how people perceive us or for people to interact with us, all those sorts of things. Well, this morning I'm starting as we walk through the Gospel of John, and what John does is he talks at length and he focuses much of it, the gospel, on this idea, this reality that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the very Son of God, and it adds value, it adds significance to who Jesus is. That we're not just talking about a prophet, we're not just talking about a good man, we're not just talking about another person, but rather we're talking about the very Son of God. And so that is the focus of the Gospel of John. He writes the book to demonstrate that Jesus is the Son of God, i.e., He is God. And He does that through a lot of different ways. One of the ways He does it, He walks through the I Am statements, and we'll get to those as we walk through the Gospel. But you remember when God raises up Moses to send him into the wilderness to deliver the Hebrews out of the slavery from Egypt. Moses, he's hesitant, and he said, what does he ask? He says, who do I say sent me? And the response there at the burning bush as God speaks, he says, tell them I am and I am has sent you. And so it's that I am statement that adds significance, that goes, man, there. That God is so sovereign, He's so big, He is so He is only God, that I am is the only way to fitly describe Him. And so then we fast forward to the Gospel of John, and there are several statements in which John records these I am statements because he is demonstrating that he is the Son of God, i.e. he is God. And this morning we hit the ground running as we look at the first five verses together in the Gospel of John. And this very idea that Jesus is the Son of God, more specifically, Jesus is God. And so John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You would take Your Word and use it for Your glory and Your honor. God, I pray You'd empty me, fill me with Your Spirit. God, give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. God, help us to see the deity of Christ. Help us to see the significance of Jesus and who He is and for what He's done. And I pray for every person here who doesn't know You, God, that You would save them. I pray for everyone that does, God, that You would draw them closer to You. You'd strengthen and encourage them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The main idea of our message this morning is really simple. Jesus is God. Very simply, that Jesus is God. I know I spent a long time talking about Jesus is the Son of God, but that's the significance of Jesus being the Son of God, that for Him to be the Son of God, He is of God. He is God. And so the question is, do you believe Jesus is God this morning? That you have to believe more to even to be saved. You have to believe more than Jesus is just a good person. Jesus is a great model. Jesus is a prophet, or even, and we're going to deal with this, that it's more than Jesus is a God. Jesus is God. And so the title of the message this morning is From the Beginning. And so really two main ideas or two key ideas I want us to hang our hat on this morning as we walk through the text this morning. And number one, notice the deity of Jesus through His incarnation. Notice the deity of Jesus through His incarnation. So let's look at verse 1. This is a very well-known verse to many of us. But there's some significant things we need to address or deal with. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, it's interesting that he begins with this phrase because it reminds us back to the days of creation. It reminds us back to Genesis chapter 1 of the beginning of things. And so John is writing this, and I think it does it with intentionality. We're going to deal with this idea in just a moment. But he says, in the beginning, from the very beginning, it was the Word. And now here's what we need to see this morning. If you look at our text on the screen this morning, the Word here is capitalized each time it is used. There's reason for that. And the reason is what John is doing, what is common in literary writing sometimes, he is doing personification. And it's representing, it's not just talking about the Word as we hold in our hand, although it is true. What he's writing is true about the Word in the sense that we think and know in a full manifestation, a full revelation of who God is. But he also, more importantly here, he is using Word to represent Jesus. And so as we read this morning, and I'm going to demonstrate that to you in verse 14. We'll look at verse 14. If you look down your Bible, just a few verses, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, how do we listen to some of the language that's here? The Word becomes flesh, okay? So he's saying, man, this Word is more than just what we read or hold in our hand. There's something to this. There's vitality. There's life to this. So that starts to raise our attention. He dwelt among us. Man, did not Jesus come and dwell among us? And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The most well-known verse in the whole world is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. So what is happening here? We need to understand that in the first part of this our text this morning, in verses 1 through 5, he's talking about Jesus using the Word. But then he defines Word in verse 14 to mean Jesus. So as we read this morning, what you and I can do to make sure we grab a hold of this is where it says word, we can use Jesus, okay? So back to verse 1. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was Jesus. So this is important because it points to that at the moment of beginning of time in human history, Jesus was there. Not in the beginning did the Word begin. Not in the beginning did Jesus start. Not in the beginning was Jesus born. But rather in the beginning was the Word. It was already there. He was already in the beginning. And as you read the book of Genesis, the only thing that was in existence prior to creation was God. And so John, in the early on, he is making abundantly clear the deity of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. This is crucial. It's crucial because if Jesus, sometimes we fall into this trap and the idea that Jesus only began existing when we read the New Testament, when he's born of a virgin. But that's not true. Jesus always has been. And what John is pointing out here, he was in the beginning. And so if there is no creation date, if there is no official beginning date for Jesus, he always has been, then he must be God. So in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And notice this, and the Word was with God. It's more than even just in the presence of. There's a depth here that I didn't even fully realize until studying for this message. But the idea with here, it has a sense of facing toward. What's the idea? What is John driving at? That in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus, the Word, was with God. It's more than just in the presence, but there's a level of intimacy and proximity and closeness and nearness to Jesus the Son, God the Son, and God the Father. And so there's a closeness here. Not only saying, man, he was in the beginning, there's no beginning date for him, he always has been, but there's also a pointing to this Trinity of that Jesus was near, he was facing toward, there was a closeness with God. Man, this verse is so important and vital to the fundamental idea, what hinges on our faith, because here's the reality, you need to lean into this morning. Christians, if Jesus is not God, we are wasting our time this morning. If Jesus is not God, everything must be questioned about your faith. And so John is writing his gospel to demonstrate that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. And what is he doing? He has wound up and he is throwing a haymaker from the very beginning to go, I want it to be abundantly clear. There is no qualms about this. There's no question that Jesus is God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then maybe our most pivotal phrase this morning is this last phrase. Notice this, look in your Bible, and the Word was God. I need you to notice this for just a moment, because we're getting to deal with some false ideology out there. Some false teaching from Jehovah's Witnesses and some false teaching from Islam and Muslims. I need you to notice this because in verse 1 here, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. We already dealt with verse 14 and honestly 15 and others make it abundantly clear this is talking about Jesus. And so we've already dealt with that, but then hear this last phrase, in the beginning, at the end, the Word was God. If you go read the translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses holy book, there's a few things that are glaring to you. There's a lot of portions of that where it is just copy and paste from the King James Bible. But there are certain places where some of the translators of their day tried to make some points about their theology and doctrine because Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And what do they try to point to? They try to affirm that. They try to convince you. They try to come into your home, knock on your door and get in your home and indoctrinate you. And what do? They try to use John 1:1. Because when they show you in their copy of what they consider their scripture, their holy book, if you will. This is what how it reads. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, okay? But then when you get to this last phrase, it says the Word was a God. Not definitive, but rather a and little g God. That he was a prophet, he was good, he worked in such a way, he attained himself to become a God. Dear friends, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I know I'm being strong this morning, but we have to be because our entire belief system hinges on this reality. The entire truth of this text hinges on that article. It does not say that he is a God. And they want to say, well, there's no definitive article, the, that hinges or that is attached to God here the way that it is. But looking and reading, because they copy and pasted so much from the King James Bible, but you look at their copy, and there are, man, dozens, hundreds of times in which the definitive article is not attached the way that it is here, and they still translate it, the God. Why? Because the average Hebrew reader and the people who have studied Hebrew for much longer than the translator did, that one of the translators had Hebrew for a semester. And they come up with this idea that because the definitive article is not there, it doesn't mean the God, it means a God, little g. But it is not true because, man, translator for year after year after year, for centuries believed and knew the way that this was written, it is definitive. And the idea is this, is that Jesus is God. Muslims want to tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. The Word of God never says he's God. The only places that it might, they'll try to tell you that then men, as they translate the Bible, tweak the language and try to make it read that way. And they're trying to indoctrinate you. And friends, let me tell you this. Let me be abundantly clear this morning. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus did time and time again declare to be God. I already talked to you about the I am statements. And every Hebrew of that day unequivocally understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus was declaring that he is the Son of God and that he is God. Why? How do we know that? Because when you read those accounts, what do the Jews do of that day? They look around and pick up rocks because they're ready to toss, oh boy. They're ready to get after him. And that, why? Because they knew the significance of that. But now we have these ideologies that are trying to tell you that Jesus is not God. Jesus is not the Son of God. He's just a prophet. He ascertained himself to become a God. But dear friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And Jesus was God. Unequivocally, we need to see and grab a hold of this. We cannot waver from this, church, that Jesus is God. I know some of you are like, man, what is wrong with him this morning? Let me tell you what's wrong. I'm sick of seeing what seem to be Christians or believers fall trap to worldly ideologies and lies from the enemy about the truth of who God is and what he's done. And friends, it is unequivocal that this verse, as we read it today, is to be translated exactly how we read it. And it unequivocally reminds us and tells us of the deity of Jesus. That in his incarnation, that is, as God sent his son Jesus and he came from heaven and he stepped and he took on a flesh suit. Being fully God, yet fully man. How is that reality true? I have no great illustrations. My vocabulary, and probably more importantly, my intellect or lack of intellect, does not provide me enough words or description, or it's inadequate to describe how that exactly happens. That's one of the miracles of God. But I know with all of my heart, and I know because this is what the Bible teaches, that Jesus was fully human, born of a virgin, but he was fully God. both at the same time. And so this morning, I want us to notice the deity of His Son, of Jesus, through His incarnation. Verse 2 just reminds us of what He already said in verse 1. He was in the beginning with God. Just emphatically reminding the reader, going, He always has been. And because He always has been, the other opposite of that is true. He always will be. Reminding us that Jesus is God this morning. So I hope you believe that Jesus is God. Revelation 19:13 says, He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And notice this, talking about Jesus as He returns, and His name is called the Word of God. This is not the only time that we see this reference about Jesus. I don't want you to think, well, that's just some one-off instance, preacher, and you're just using it to strong-arm your case. But no, there's other places in Scripture where this reference is made about Jesus. Matthew 1:23, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't this the beauty that in the beginning was the Word? And the Word, listen, was with God, and the Word was God. And what happened, that in that moment that virgin conceived and brought forth the Son, that God Himself came to be with us. And that you and I can have a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus, that we get to walk with the Lord. And so I want you to notice the deity of Jesus through His incarnation. Number two, notice the deity of Jesus through His activity in creation. So we see His incarnation. Now I want you to see His activity in creation. Notice what happens here. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Again, I want you to see the activity. This is not the activity of the Word. This is the activity of Jesus. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus nothing was made that was made. And so again, in the beginning, verse 1, he is recalling, because these readers would have instantly thought of Genesis 1:1, maybe like some of you did. And so it recalls us back to that moment of creation, and then He lays out this idea, this reality, this truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. In verse 3, He's coming back and pointing back to creation. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. It reminds us of a couple things. One, that Jesus was in the beginning. He couldn't be a part of creation if He had to be created. But rather, He didn't have to be created. He always has been. It points to His deity. But His activity in creation reminds us that we see God the Father active. We see the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, is what Genesis says. And then here we're told in the New Testament, Jesus is there. It reminds us of the Trinity. That we believe, we know this reality as believers, is that God is one. It's not a multiplicity of God, but rather God is one. Yet in that one God, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Again, I have no illustrations, and I lack the vocabulary and intellectual ability to be able to adequately describe that, but I know that's what the Bible teaches. And so here He's saying, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Reminds us of creation. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, notice the elements here of creation. In the beginning, He always has been, but then He talks about life, that God gives life. He's the only one to create life. He's the only one that can give life. He says life was the light of men. Again, language similar to that of the creation account. That God is there in the beginning. He creates. He gives life. And He makes light. And so as we look, verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So as Jesus is a part of creation, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens of the earth. that we see the deity of Christ as John lays out in verses 1 and 2, that he was with God, he was in the beginning, and he is God. But then to go on and further make his case as he is introducing Jesus through his gospel, he is saying not only in the person that he is in Jesus, not only in who he is God, but in what he's done demonstrates that he is God. And so he was in the beginning. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." See, friends, we've got to be reminded this morning that Jesus didn't come and have to earn himself a way into becoming a God. There would have been nothing without him. If Jesus wasn't God from the beginning, it says all things were created through him and by him. Why? Because he is God. If he wasn't God in all of his fullness, then he wouldn't have been a part of creation. If he wasn't a part of creation, then we have nothing here for him to come and ascertain to be God. It is illogical. And so here he says that he is who he is God, but then all things are made through him. Nothing was made that was made without him. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The lies I've been referencing this morning from Jehovah's Witnesses and from Islam, there's a lot of false religions out there. But what they try and attempt to do is they try to feed you a lie to keep you in darkness, so you don't see Jesus for who he is and see Jesus for what he's done. You don't see the full manifestation of who God is and what he wants to do in your life. The attempt is to keep you in darkness. Keeps you believing a lie. Keeps you arrested. Which is the exact antithesis, the exact opposite of what Jesus wants to do in your life. The enemy wants to lie to you, keep you held down, keep you held back, keep you deceived. But Jesus wants to come and set you free. Jesus wants us to be exposed to who he is. And here I love this language in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness cannot hold the light. The darkness can't surround in and overtake the light. The light always dominates darkness. Always. I mean, those of you that grew up in the country, or maybe you've been in places where, man, electricity is just completely out and there's no light whatsoever. It's amazing how much the smallest of lights can make such an impact. You can see it from a long ways away. If you've ever been out, this is one of the hard things about that at the end of our time in Memphis, and obviously growing up in the country, I just remember walking out of our apartment complex and just looking up, and because there was so much light, I couldn't really see the stars and some of the galaxy very well. I just remember as a kid being able to walk out, you know, it's country dark, there's no street lights, nothing like that. Walk out, and man, just the brightness of those stars. And here it says that Jesus is the light, and the darkness could not comprehend it. The darkness couldn't hold it. And dear friend, my hope and prayers this morning is that you will understand the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. And for some of us this morning, you've been bound by darkness. And my hope is that you see from the Word of God this morning, not just from some preacher, from some message this morning, but from the very Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he wants to set you free, and he wants to invade the darkness in your life if you'll let him. But then, dear friends, those of you that know Christ, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." But when he saves you, he makes you the light of the world. Because he's in you. He's not giving you light just so you can go, you know, Matthew talks about just covering it up. He used to sing, not going to cover it up. But rather, he has brought you. He has come as the light of the world so that you can know him. And also so that you can shine the light. I realize we live in a sin-sick world. And sometimes you look at the news, you look at what's going on in our country, and you think, man, it seems to get worse every day. But dear friend, doesn't the light shine brighter in the darkness? It's more evident in the darkness. What if the Lord is just giving us, in our comfortable Western American Christianity, he's just giving us more opportunity for him to shine brighter in what's going on in and around our community and culture? Our friends and family, our community needs Jesus. Why? Because he's the Son of God. So, it's pretty simple this morning, pretty straightforward. We see the deity of Christ in his incarnation. John 1:1 and verse 2. And I hope you mark, underline, the Word was God. But then we see his activity in creation reminds us that Jesus is God. So if you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, dear friend, won't you do it today? And there's some of you who may have been holding on for a while, gripping, just holding on. And won't you just let go and allow God to work in your life the way that he wants to? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves you just right where you're at. Won't you give your heart and life to him today? Man, there's some of you, maybe you have been saved and you hadn't told a single soul. Dear friend, if the Son of God has saved you and lived in you, there ought to be enough Jesus in you to tell some friends and family or some folks around you that love God. Man, they'll celebrate, be excited for you. Man, I'd love for you to come tell me. Man, I'll celebrate with you and rejoice with you and come alongside, go, man, here's what it is to walk with the Lord. Man, you don't have to be ashamed. The enemy lies to you and says, man, you got to be ashamed. It's a lie from the enemy. Man, some of you maybe surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. We saw Ryan recently follow the Lord in baptism. Man, that's the first step of obedience and walking with the Lord is taking a step in obedience and baptism. Maybe God's calling you to join here. There are all kinds of things that maybe God's doing in your life need to respond. We're going to have a time of invitation, just an opportunity for us to respond to the Lord. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in and through your life. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray this morning that if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, they've been wrestling with whether you're really God and what you want to do in their lives. I pray, God, you give them grace to call out on you for salvation right now. God, that they would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. You just call out to him, ask him, God, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Just talk to him. The Lord wants to save you. Others of you dealing with decisions, or maybe God's doing some things in your heart and your life, you need to respond to him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, this altar is open for you. If you want to come and pray, maybe you want to come and pray for a friend, maybe you want to come pray for some things in your life, man, maybe you need to be baptized. You come, say, hey, Pastor Chris, I need to be baptized. Maybe you prayed to receive Christ recently. Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever it is, man, don't let the enemy lie to you. Although think this, or man, you respond to whatever God's doing in your life. Let me pray. Jesus, I pray in these next few moments, God, that we'd be careful to be obedient to you. That we'd respond to you according to your will. God, I pray that God, all that we say and do will be glorifying to you. God, bind away the evil one. Bind away the demons of hell from this moment. God, I pray that light would prevail, and God, you give us boldness to respond to you. Help us to get over ourselves and what others may be thinking, and just worry about what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we love you, and we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer. If you need somebody to talk with, I'd love to talk with you. Whatever God's doing in your life, you come now. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful you've chosen to worship with us today. I'm going to ask some of our men, they begin to take their place to help take up the offering this morning. And so I just want to encourage you to really be prayerful about faithfulness and giving, and just thank you so much. We are coming out of summertime, and I know it's difficult. We have a lot of folks out, and so some of our giving has been down a little bit, and it's just a busy time, a lot of activities. And so just be praying that the Lord would provide and meet our needs, and thank you so much for being here. Let me just mention to you, I know some of a lot of questions or whatever we did have. A couple young guys, seems like, shot a BB gun into our window and so broke the glass out there. And so that's what that's about. So Lord willing, we'll get that fixed this week. But anyway, just an opportunity to trust the Lord and all that kind of thing. So anyway, thank you for being here. I am going to meet with the choir immediately following service in the choir room for just a moment. So let's stand together and we'll pray and be dismissed. And y'all don't get used to getting out this early, all right? So enjoy it today. I'll make up next week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let me pray. God, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, we declare together this morning that you, Jesus, are God, and there's none like you. I pray you provide. God, help us to be faithful in our giving. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. And Lord, go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.